Amen.
Amen.
Let's start together.
Amen. I got up this morning to start the church first thing, Delcy. You don't feel like going this morning. You already missed two Sundays. So, but you know, you ain't got nothing to wear, so I put on whatever and I wear. Amen. I want to remember a brother. I can't remember his name, but he's in Newfoundland, Canada. And he called me one day and said, I enjoy the responsive reading. So I just asked you to pray for him, that God will bless him, not only be just enjoyable, but be a blessing for him. Amen. We're going to read from Isaiah 58. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we're ever grateful and thankful unto you, Lord, for the many blessings, Lord, that you have given unto us. Lord, we've seen that there's been many troubles and times unto us, Lord, you have brought us through. God, and we thank you for it. We ask you for whatever we have need of, Lord, that your blessing will be. Lord, and let us believe that your word is true and that which you have promised, Lord, that you will give. Lord Jesus, so we never stop trying. We never stop believing, Lord, knowing that you are the master and the savior of us all. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Isaiah 58. Cry aloud, spare not, lift up thy voice like a trumpet, and show my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins.
If they seek me daily, and delight to know my ways, as a nation that did righteousness, and pursued not the ordinance of their God, they ask for me the ordinance of justice, they take delight in approaching God.
Wherefore have we fasted? Say they, and thou seest not. Wherefore have we afflicted our souls, and thou takest no knowledge? Behold, in the day of your fast, we find pleasure and exalt all your labors.
Behold, you fast for strife and debate, and to smile at the fist of wickedness. You shall not fast as you do this day, to make your voice to be heard on high.
Is it such a fast that I have chosen, a day for a man to afflict his soul? Is it to bow down your head and burlish, and know, and to space sackcloth and ashes unto him? Will thou be able to, the Lord? Is it not to deal thy bread to the hungry, and that thou bring poor that are cast out of thy house? When thou seest the naked, thou covet him, and that thou hide not thyself from thine own flesh.
Then shall thy light break forth as the morning, and thy
Then shall thou call, the Lord shall answer. Thou shalt cry, and he shall hear. And he shall say, here I am. If thou take away from the midst of thee, seek the yoke of the putting forth of thy finger and speaking vanity.
Shall thy
And the Lord shall guide thee continually and satisfy thy soul in drought and make fast the bone. Thou shalt be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose water faileth not.
And they that shall be of thee shall build the old waste places. Thou shalt rise up the foundation of many generations, and thou shalt be called the repairer of the breach, the restorer of paths of dwelling.
If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure of my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight, the holy of the Lord, honorable, and thou, and shall honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor seeking thine own words. Then shall thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will call thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed the inheritance, now bring now father, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken it. God bless you. Be seated.
Praise God. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. He's my everything. He's my all. 417. He is my everything. He is my all. He is my everything, both great and small. Your testimony. He is my everything. He is my all. Touched me, oh, he touched me, and oh, the joy that floods my soul, something happened, and shackled by a heavy burden, touched me, and now I am no longer the same. Oh, he touched me. Oh, he touched me. My soul, something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole. Let's stand. Since I met this blessed Savior, what did he do? Since he cleansed, made me whole, I shall never cease to praise him. I'll shout it while eternity rolls. He touched me. Oh, he touched me. And oh, the joy that floods my soul. You come on out. Something happened, and now I know he touched me and made me whole.
Let's sing it again to him.
Oh, he touched me. Yes, he touched me.
Something happened.
Something.
It really happened.
And now I know he touched me and made me.
Thank you, Jesus. Praise
him. Amen. That's what he's here to do.
Amen.
He's here to touch you. And all we got to do is take the word of God. And that's where we're going to see him at today. Good to see each and every one of you here. Good to be in the house of the Lord. All is well with everyone I see. We've got pretty much everybody back. By way of announcement, let's get started with that. Get that out of the way. Brother Luis will be speaking Wednesday night for us. And then he'll be gone next Sunday to preach in where? Beaufort?
Orlando, Florida.
Hispanic group down there in Orlando, Florida. And this coming Sunday, I will be at Brother Richard Hyatt's, and then I'm going to be hunting Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday in Illinois. I'll be back Wednesday night. So Brother Richard Douglas is going to be with us. Everybody knows Big Richie. He's going to be with us this weekend coming up, both services. Just treat him well. He's staying with Brother Aaron. That'll be a house full. So anyway. So, also, we will begin now our Sunday school next Sunday, and we're going to do the no mask thing next Sunday, or, yes, all right. So everybody, but if you don't feel good, don't come to church. But if you, next Sunday, we'll start back with Sunday school. Brother Bob will be up here, and then the sisters and Brother Boyd will be downstairs, starting again with a regular Sunday school class. We had a wonderful time in Bible study last night. Man, it was good. Brother Dale got involved, and he's getting better, and we're just, yes, amen. We're just buying my time until he gets back up here, okay? Amen. So, and I'd like to read this quote. I was thinking about it this morning in the Smyrna church age. Now, they don't have it, but I'm going to read it here for you. It says, all too little time is spent on laboring for the eternal rewards of God. The recompense of God is too lightly esteemed. If we believe in the reality of the resurrection of the body and an eternal kingdom of substance, then we ought to lay up in heaven those good treasures that are available to the faithful saints. That are available. The treasures already laid up. A little, too little time is spent on laboring for the eternal rewards of God. So, just admonish you that, Bible study is really good for you. It's better for you than anything else you can be doing on Saturday night. Amen. So, and I've always said, if you have a position in this church, you ought to be at Bible study. That's the spiritual leadership of the church. So if you have anything to do, I admonish you to be here. I know we don't have, there's times when we can't come, but some of y'all have never come. So, you know, you ought to try to make an effort because God's made it available. God's going to tell you one day, he's going to say, look, I made it available for you. Why are you crying? Why are you crying because you've not come to adoption? Why are you crying because you can't get what you need to get? Well, let's do what God says. Try. At least try to do what God says. Amen. So let's just keep that in your prayer. Bible studies every Saturday, the first Saturday of every month from 6 to 8. Also, children and young adults, remember the Bethel camp is the 28th through the 31st. We're already into October. And we're also going to start announcing this, that on 11-14, 11, not 10, 11-14, that will be November the 14th, we will be having our church Thanksgiving dinner here, one service. I'm not going to try to fight y'all with turkey in your belly Sunday afternoon, okay? One service on Sunday, and then the meal after that service, and it will be not catered. We cater the Christmas meal. We don't cater the Thanksgiving meal. So we'll all fix a covered dish there on 11-14. And also keep in your heart, the week of Thanksgiving, church will be moved to Tuesday. It won't be on Wednesday, the day before Thanksgiving. It'll be the Tuesday before Thanksgiving. All right, so just remember that. We'll announce it, and you say, well, that's a long time away. Well, it's really not. Amen. October's here now, too, you remember. So we'll be announcing Watch Night service, and we just got over announcing it just a few weeks ago, I thought. So we're going to speak today. We're going to start a new subject. I told you we were going to try to do this. We're going to take our time. But who is this Son of Man? Now, we're going to have to background. You know that. We're going to have to background. That's what we were kind of talking about in Bible study last night. We've had some real good background here. So having good background here, we can understand some of the people we're talking about, the statue of a perfect man and how to get the virtues. And sometimes I think, remember, God does it. Amen. He reveals it. And then he makes it manifest. That's what the prophet of God said. He does it. So he's already doing a work in you. Don't think you're insignificant. Don't think you're not. You know, I mean, it's a struggle. We were talking about the kingdom of God is taken by force. You got to press your way into this. But in that we press our way into it, we could be already in it. Listen, how long was Brother Biscoe in that vision? Hours before he realized he was actually walking in the vision that Brother Branham had told him weeks before or a week before or a couple of days before they started hunting. He said to be a man in a green checkered shirt. He took that shirt out and put it on and went hunting. And he realized that he was already in the vision. So I want God to show us that we either are in these virtues or we've already got in them, but Lord, reveal to me where I'm at. Reveal to me what I'm already doing, because he does it, then he reveals it, then he makes it manifest. All right, so he's got to do it in your life, reveal it to you that he's done it, and then make it manifest by you showing it out. We were talking about virtue. You know, if you get a revelation today and you had a question or you had a thought that was contrary to God, and then God gives you a revelation today, that gives you that right there. That gives you virtue and knowledge packed together, because what you do, it gives you strength. And then you can what? You can give it out to somebody else. Because that's what virtue is strength. Not being a virgin. You can be a virgin every day in your life and die and go to hell. But you can't have godly virtue. Because you got to have the new birth to get godly virtue. Amen? So it puts you in the body of Christ. So just remember those things. Because that is the Son of Man right there. That's the whole thing. That's the headstone. He is the Son of Man. There he is there. We know he came in the end time, but we're going to try to walk our way through the Bible, because he started before the beginning of time, and he's ending up now, not ending, but we're seeing the end of things that are being prophesied in the Bible. All right? And keep this in your mind that when we're, even when we talk about the Old Testament, listen to me, we were talking about the Old Testament. You say, well, that's Jehovah. But now listen, all the Old Testament prophesied of the Son of Man.
Right.
Doesn't matter if it's Jehovah or whatever you want to call it, the Father. Every scripture, how many scriptures did Jesus fulfill? He fulfilled all the Old Testament.
Right.
When he stood on earth as what? The Son of Man. So the whole Old Testament, don't kick it out and say, well, when did the Son of Man start? Well, no, he started 2,000 years ago in Bethlehem. No, he started before the foundation of the world, because we're going to read where Brother Brown says, who is this Son of Man? He says, in the beginning. In the beginning was the Word. Amen? So let's bow our heads as we get started. Just keep everybody in your prayers. Sister June, today she is our future daughter-in-law is having something special at her church, and they wanted the mother-in-laws there, so our future mother-in-law, so June's at her church now with her, so she asked to do that. So just keep them in prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, we thank you, Lord, to this day that you give us, not just a day, a 24-hour day, but I do appreciate, Lord, that you give us a time of day to set aside the first day of the week, Lord, to honor the resurrection. And Lord, may there be a resurrection in our heart, Lord, and in our life, and the ones, Lord, that are standing here before us, the ones, Lord, that are watching in, Father, we pray that you would just anoint each one, Lord, for our journey. We're on a special time now, Lord. We're in a time where we're coming into the manifestation of the sons of God, and we're not going to be children. Adopted children to begin with, yes, but now Brother Ram says maturity. Mature sons and daughters of God, to know what God wants done with the Word. Not being frivolous and not being a baby anymore, Lord, but knowing what to do with this Word, Lord, that you give us. Father, we pray that you'd be with each one. Thank you for helping our pastor, Lord, strengthening him more and more and more and more, Lord. That you'll touch his body, Lord, and be with each one of us. Lord, touch the body here, the body of Christ. Lord, the ones that are sick, Father, the ones that are not here, the ones that are traveling, the ones that are coming in and going, Father, we pray that you'd just bless each one. We are truly a chosen, elect group of people. And I pray that you'd just give us, Lord, the promises that you've told us you would give us. And today we are here to receive them in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. All right, let's go with John 1, verse 1. Everybody all right?
Amen.
Amen. We're gonna talk about the Son of Man, but we got to talk about how it got started. Because what is the Son of Man? Bottom line, it's the Word made flesh. Okay? The total. Now, the Son of Man is the total Word made flesh, the headstone man. Not just us as a baby. No, it's the headstone man. All right? So, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. So, they're not separate. The same was in the beginning with God. All things were made by Him. All things were made by Him. And without Him was not anything made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. And the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehendeth not. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. Now this is John the Baptist. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light, that all men through him might believe. Because see, he introduced the Son of Man.
Yes.
Behold, the Lamb of God, flesh, that takes away the sin of the world. So that was John's job. He didn't come to announce the Holy Ghost. He came to announce a man in human flesh that was going to take away the sin of the world. That God was going to come down here and walk in human flesh. Behold, the Lamb of God. So this John. But now remember, you got to keep them separate, just like in the end time, we got to keep the Son of Man separate from a Son of Man. Okay? Brother Branham was not the Son of Man. He was a Son of Man. Revealing the Son of Man. Same way with me and you. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. The same came for a witness to bear witness of the light. He wasn't the light. He was bearing witness of the light that all men through him might believe. He was not that light. So there you keep them separate. Because John was not virgin born. John might have been born of two good parents, and he might have been prophesied that he was going to come. But he was born in sin just like everybody else. All right? He was not that light, but was sent to bear witness of that light. That was the true light which lighteth every man that cometh into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made by him, and the world knew him not. Now see, listen, the world in the Old Testament, they had an understanding of Jehovah because they knew there was only one God. So they had an understanding of this Jehovah person, being, spirit, something you can't see, something that's far off and way up yonder somewhere. But now it's telling us here he was in the world. So somehow he got down here. Amen? And the world was made by him and the world knew him not. He came unto his own and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood. We were talking about last night, talking about the new birth. Nor the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us. And we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. And then now John, you can be seated. John met that guy on Isle of Patmos. Right? He was standing in the midst of the gold, one likened to the what? Son of man, standing in the midst of the golden candlesticks, likened to the Son of Man, which was in bride form, which was girt about the paps. And also the Bible study next month is going to be about what is the Holy Ghost and what is the new birth. So we're going to put them together, but they are separate. Because remember, you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every day of your life and die and go to hell. But you can't be born again and die and go to hell. All right? Amen? So if you get the new birth, it is the Holy Ghost, but it's not exactly what that is. So we're going to try to bring that out the next Bible study. So we love to talk about the Word of God. It's something that that the world, I was talking, we were talking last night, and you know, we have a purpose. We have a motive of being. We have somewhere to go. Somewhere, like Brother John said, it's something we don't have to nail up anymore, boards, and we don't have to paint it, and we don't have to keep it up. It's never going to grow old. Amen. Amen? And that's our future home. But see, the people of the earth, I was listening yesterday after the Georgia game. Yeah, I do listen to the Georgia game. Sorry about that. But anyway, after the Georgia game, this commentator said, I don't know what I'm going to do tomorrow, that Sunday. He said, I'm just going to sit and in other words, soak up and just take this great victory in, and I don't know what I'm going to do, but that's what I'm going to do. God wasn't mentioned nowhere. Obviously, he wasn't going to church. Amen? That's the purpose of people having life. They have no purpose at all. Just to revel in the fact that their team won X, Y, Z, whatever. Well, why can't we have the same thing when we come to church on Sunday morning? Why can't we revel or why can't we say, hey, we've won. We're a victor. Our team won. You read it in the Bible that we've already won. It's not something we got to wait till the fourth quarter to 2 minutes left in the game to find out who's going to win the game. We won when we got up. Amen. All devils in hell started shaking when we got out of the bed. You need to start believing that. Because that's what that spirit realm is looking at. There's devils in that spirit realm, but there's also God in that spirit realm. Amen? There's the angels of God that are helping you. When you get up out of the bed, put your feet on the ground and say, thank you, God, for giving me one more day. Thank you, God, for giving me one more day. See, because when we talk about this Son of Man, when we get toward the end of it, sure, we're going to separate it, but when we bring this thing together, it's going to overlap into you.
Yes.
We're going to talk about this great being and this great creator and this great person that we're going to talk about, but when we get to the end of this thing, it's going to all melt together and he's not going to be able to tell from him to you. Because the bride of Jesus Christ will be the Son of Man in the end time. Not one man, but all together we will be that headstone. Amen? That's what I believe. But let's read here in Genesis. We know this is a seed chapter. And right here is where we're going to get. We're going to read a couple of this, and then a couple of scriptures, and then I'm going to back up. Now in Genesis 3:15. Now here is a promise. This is God standing on the earth with two of his children that have sinned and the beast. Everybody got that? And God at this moment is going to divide what he was going to do versus what he's doing now. Because remember, he would that all be saved. He would that all be... He wanted Adam and Eve to produce the body for him to live in. That's what the prophet of God said. Eve was supposed to produce the body that Jesus was to live in. But at this point in time, her natural womb was polluted with two seeds, natural. And God couldn't do that because her mind had already been messed up. We were not supposed to come by sex. We were not supposed to come the way we did. But we had to in order for this eternal redemption that we've been preaching on for months to come into being. Something had to fall for us to be redeemed. All right? Because it was all as wonderful before and everything was fine and God knew this was going to happen. But still, he allowed all this to happen. He couldn't say, well, I'll choose this one, I'll choose that one. No, he let it play out by free moral agency, by predestination. We know that. By foreknowledge. He had to let it play out because he had to be Savior, Healer, Redeemer. Because before this scripture right here, he had those attributes, but he had no way to display them. Everybody got that? He had the attributes. He didn't gain any attributes. Prophet of God in the church age book. He didn't gain attributes as he came down here. He was always the Savior, always the Healer, always the Redeemer. Even when he was standing in the garden and told Adam and Eve, he said, if you eat of that tree, you'll live. If you eat of that tree, you'll die. Well, now, he knew they were going to eat of that tree. But he had to give them the choice so that they could make the choice, just like you do, make your choice. But there's a point in time when God says, okay, that's enough. You've broke your promise. And I'm going to have to do something. And that's what he did in the garden. And he didn't wipe Adam and Eve off the face of the earth. He just said, you broke the covenant, so therefore you're going to have to die. As we were talking about the millennium, 1,000 years is a day and a thousand day is 1,000 years. So God says, I will put enmity or division between, in other words, what I was going to do. If you were to eat off this tree of life, this is what you would have done. I already told you. You'd live forever. You wouldn't have any problems. There'd be no death. Adam, you'd rule the world. And Eve would rule it with you. But since you did this, there has to be a consequence because I am also a judge. We love the Savior and the Healer and the Redeemer. We love that, those attributes, because it helps us. But sometimes we don't like, we got to remember he's a righteous judge also. Amen. So he has to give judgment where judgment is due. So judgment is due here. And like I said before, though, he didn't destroy his creation. Amen. He just said, from now on, you're going to do this. You're going to die. You're going to bear children just like you are right now. You're going to keep bearing them until the rapture takes place. And I will put enmity, a division between thee and the woman. Thee, who? The serpent. He's fixing to put him on his belly. The serpent's going to be gone. Serpent's not going to have anything to do as far as being the upright beast or the missing link. He's going to have nothing to do anymore. God's going to wipe him off and make him a snake. So I'm going to put enmity between thee and the woman and between thy seed. So he had a seed, natural, and her seed. Remember, a woman doesn't have a seed, so she has to be given one. And this is speaking, as the prophet of God tells us, this is one of the greatest scriptures of promise that tells you that God's going to come down in a natural seed. Now, he's spirit. He's spirit. But when he comes down into human flesh, God has to create an egg and a germ and put it in the womb of Mary, and there is her seed. She's given a seed. Right? Because remember, even Eve says, I was given another seed, which was Seth, which was the type of Christ coming after Abel had died. It shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. In other words, he's going to have to go to Calvary. And, you know, bruising your heel doesn't kill you. But now bruising your head does. So the promise is, what? Her seed shall bruise your head, Satan. But now, that person is going to have to go through sorrow. And trials and tribulation and be made perfect. You say the Son of Man? Yeah, the Son of Man. I'm going to read you on down the road where he had to grow in grace and knowledge. He suffered. He became perfect by the things he suffered because he was in a human body. He was a human being. Hungry, tired, sleepy. Brother Brown said he could have had children if he wanted to have children. He was that much man. But he couldn't because, see, that would break his purpose. His purpose was to get a spiritual group of people, not a natural group of people. Amen? But he's going to have to work through natural group of people to get the spiritual people. Because, see, we're going to read in just a little while that Genesis 1:26, man, that's before here. That's the spiritual man. That's the part. We've talked about it many times, but we're going to have to bring it out because, listen, that's where God began to unfold himself. But he couldn't anymore like he wanted to from this point forward. From this point back, there was a chance that it could be by spoken word. But now after they had done what they did by the physical, there's no way that could happen anymore. So God said, okay, I'm going to divide this thing up. I'm going to have my plan, and there's going to be a human plan. Everybody got that? Say amen. Because God is a spirit, and they that worship him must worship him, what? Spirit and truth. But I'm going to work, because Satan said, if I can get them divided, I can work on this group. He can't work on that Genesis 1:26, man. He can't work on God. No. He can't work on God. But when God put that inside of this flesh man, Satan said, I can work on that. I can work on, because there's a weakness there. It's not original. All right? I'll put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Now, there's one more scripture that basically tells us that God is going to have to come into human flesh to deliver a group of people. Amen. Now, what is that? Let's go to Deuteronomy 18:15. This is Moses. Moses said, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren like unto me. Now, what was Moses? A human being. Now, Moses was a human being, right? He was anointed by God, but he was a human being. So he said, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet. You see, that's a capital P. Because, see, the Son of Man is a prophet. We're going to read probably later on next week or a couple of weeks, Ezekiel. There was like 40-something times God called, said, Son of Man, Son of Man, Son of Man. What? It was somebody in human flesh. And there was a prophetic voice that was speaking out, and that's the Son of Man. Not the Son of Man, but a Son of Man talking. But we'll get into that, because sometimes there's a capital S and sometimes there's a lowercase s. Sometimes it's talking about Ezekiel, and sometimes it's not talking about Ezekiel. It's talking about what God's going to do. Through Ezekiel. Because he decided, once that enmity came, if he would have decided to do something different, he would have went ahead and just destroyed Adam and destroyed Eve and started over. But no, he used that whole process with Adam being fallen now in flesh, Eve being fallen in flesh. He's going to use that now as an example to bring us back, because the first Adam failed, so the second Adam is not going to fail. The seed of the woman can't fail because the promise has already been made. All right? So Moses said, the Lord thy God will raise up unto thee a prophet from the midst of thee of thy brethren, Boaz, being a perfect type of that, from thy brethren like unto me. What was Moses? A prophet. He was a human being, but he was a prophet, right? Like unto me, unto him ye shall hearken. Everybody got that? All right, so now let's go to Matthew. We read this many times before in the when we were on the eternal redemption, but we got to cover this because, see, you're going to have to separate it because you can't see the Son of Man in the Old Testament without seeing the Son of God first. Now, we'll get to that, okay? Because remember, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ, didn't show up until 2,000 years ago in the physical form on this earth in this dimension. Everybody got that? Yeah. Why are y'all sleeping already? Drink some coffee. I ain't had coffee in 2 or 3 weeks because of my acid reflux. I don't go to sleep. Drink some coffee. Don't drink no energy drinks, though. I done told y'all about that. Somebody sent me a message on email the other day and said, I'll quit drinking my energy drinks. I'm sorry. So anyway. When Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, saying, whom do men? Now, let's set the stage here. Jesus has been on earth for about 30-something years at this time. That's a pretty long time. How many of y'all are 32 to 33 years old? Pretty close to it. Boy, you're twice that. Plus. So, but Janet may be close to that age, but not. So who's 30? Nobody close to 30 years old? I thought, Gabby, you're close. Over 30. Yeah. Okay. You didn't have to tell everybody, but since you did, she's 32. But she's been on earth 32 years. Somebody, including her paternal parents or whoever the parent, somebody probably should know who she is by now. Right? They should know her kid. They know she's married. She's got four kids, but they should know all the other little things. And even Ryan been around her for 9 or 10 years. How long you been married? 14. It's not a trick question. He was gone. 14 years. Then you know a lot about her because the intimacy and you're there with her and you know her little quirks and all those things like that. So what am I saying? This man has been with them. Now he's only been with them for several years because he called them, right? He didn't call his disciples when he was 20. But this man has been developing himself on the earth. He's the Son of Man. Now that's Jesus. When you see Jesus, that's the Son of Man. So the Son of Man is talking. All right. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? In other words, what do I like? What's going on? Am I this? Am I that? Because they're going to say, and they said, who's they? The disciples has been around him for a few years by now. So, some say you're John the Baptist. Some say you're Elijah. Because they knew Elijah had to come before but they didn't know who he was.
Right.
Really? Jeremiah? Are one of the prophets. He saith unto them, the people that's been around him the most.
Amen.
You see how the Son of Man, listen, let me throw a little point in right here, a little bullet point. And don't get me wrong, but the Son of God is a lot more easier to understand than the Son of Man. Son of God, Spirit God. That's the Holy Ghost that works inside of you. It ought to be working. But when you talk about the Son of Man, you got to have that in human flesh in its stature of a perfect man. Our adoption stages. So that's a little bit hard to understand more than the Son of God. So he's on the earth as the Son of Man. They think he's something else. And even Peter is going to say, thou art this. The Son of God. He didn't tell him who the Son of Man was. He told him who the Son of God was. Alright? And he saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? In other words, I'm not worried about them now. You've been around me for a year or so. Who do you think I am? Simon Peter said, thou art the Christ. Now the Christ is the creator. Okay, has everybody got that? The Christ is the one that created. The Son of the living God. In other words, God made manifest in a son. Because I don't believe Peter, even before his conversion, because Brother Bram said the Jews never believed in but one God. That's why Peter and them had a problem sometimes with that, but the Pharisees had a real bad problem with it because they were religious. And they knew if he said, if you call me the Son of God, or here I am the Son of Man, they knew because of their spirituality, even though it be wrong, because they had the wrong thought, but they knew that had to be God. They knew. If the Messiah was to come, he'd be God in human flesh and he would be on earth. But they didn't like the way he came because he came different than their normal. They wanted him to be this. He came as this. All right, everybody got that? And Simon Peter answered, thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. In other words, he got a revelation from God. And I say unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I'll build my church. So what's he going to build his church on? The revelation of the Son of God. Thou art the Christ, the Creator God. You are the Holy Ghost. You are the one that brooded over the earth. You're the one that told Adam what to do. You're the one that went over and you know, did all these things down through the Old Testament. But they couldn't see that flesh, that there was something that they couldn't understand. Listen, folks, the Son of Man's a mystery. That is the greatest mystery in the Bible, is to find out who that guy is.
Right.
Amen? And know who he is in his fullness, not just know that he's, well, that's Jesus back yonder. That's Jesus back yonder. He walked 2,000 years ago. He was a creator God. Somehow, he got back there and created the world, and somehow now he's in human flesh. No, there's a process, and we're going to go through that process all the way down. All right? And upon this rock I'll build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And I will give unto thee the keys of the kingdom of heaven. Whatsoever thou bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever thou shalt loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven. In other words, what was Jesus telling him? You've got a foundation of me, the Son of God. All right, okay, right here. And I'm going to build my church on that. And the gates of hell is not going to prevail against it. But it's going to take 2,000 years. Come on. It's going to take 2,000 years, though, for you to understand this guy. I'm going to build my church and establish my church on the Spirit of God entering in on the day of Pentecost and coming in a spirit form and entering into those people on the day of Pentecost. Amen. And making them sons and daughters of God.
Yes.
But not in the fullness.
Right.
The fullness has got to be in the end time.
Right.
Everybody got that?
Amen.
Amen? Amen? Y'all sure made a lot more noise when Brother Andrew was here last Sunday. I can't kick around and jump like he does. I'm sorry. I couldn't even try it. We'd be praying for the sick. Me. Luis, you didn't have to amen that. But I'm going to give you the keys of the kingdom of what? The revelation of the Son of God. The foundation. Okay, you've got this part. But it's going to take you 2,000 years. Peter, you got to go through these stages. I got to come and go inside of you, and you've got to stand up on the day of Pentecost and say, this is that. But remember, this is that spoken by Joel, that I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. That's why you can have the Holy Ghost anoint your spirit and die and go to hell and not be a born-again believer. Because he said, I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. But now see, that wasn't the Son of Man. That was the Son of God in human beings. But he poured it out everywhere. Listen, only a small group of people, no one, when the Son of Man was on the earth the first time, no one knew who he was. They were in line. They were getting there. I'm going to build my church on this revelation. That you were lost. You came the way you should not have come. But I'm not going to leave you this way. I'm going to send you a comforter. Remember, that's what Jesus already told him. I'm going to send you a comforter. And that comforter is going to come, and he's going to take you and rearrange that problem that your adulterous Adam and Eve had in the beginning. But I had to come. I, the Son of Man, had to come to be the Lamb of God to take away the sin of the world. I couldn't just, you know, listen, why? Have you ever thought like this? Why didn't God just send the Holy Ghost? Why didn't he just send down a spirit and just go inside of you and make you a son and daughter of God, and Jesus wouldn't have had to die? Because of that Genesis 3:15. There's a division between God and man. Just like Lazarus and the rich young ruler. There's a great gulf fixed. There's a chasm there that Adam and Eve dropped down to that God couldn't just say, oh, that's okay. No, they broke the promise of God. They broke his word. From the beginning, even being a son and daughter of God, Bible says Adam was a son of God. And boy, I went back into blasphemous names and read that when Bob was talking about it Wednesday night. I went back and read it, and I got a lot more out of it than I read it the previous 14 or 15 times. You ever done that? Okay. It's like to add pages in there, and you'd say, that wasn't in there before. But see, Adam was a human being. Let's go right back to the daddy of all this. Adam was a human being. Right? He was the first physical human being. Now remember, we're going to go back to Genesis 1:26. Don't worry, because that was spirit man before he was put into flesh. But in Genesis 2:7, there started the human race. Or the human people. Everybody got that? Amen? And he was the Son of God. He had complete control. And he did pretty much what he wanted to do. Because it's like Brother Brown said, here, Adam, you take care of the earth. I'm going to go take care of the heavens. I'm going to leave you alone. You leave me alone. I'm going to come down and talk to you in the cool of the day. But when you call that thing an elephant, that's what it's going to be. I don't have to come down and judge that. Because you have my mind. You have part of that Genesis 1:26, man. So whatever you say, that's what it's going to be. God didn't have a problem with that, folks. Why should he have a problem now for that to happen? You say, well, we don't need to be naming animals. No, but we can call things, ask for things, speak for things. We got to come to adoption. We're not going to ever speak people out of the grave until we can be able to speak and have things that we need. Amen? I'm not talking about physical things, like temporal things. But I am talking about healing, salvation for your children. Amen? Sister Hattie Wright proved that. She was just a little washwoman that was poor lady, and she said, I want the salvation of my two sons. Amen. And God said, you can have it. Amen? Now that was a son of man speaking, but he was speaking under the authority, because we're going to read in the Bible, because a lady comes to Brother Branham after the marriage and divorce, and she says, you forgive those people their sins. He said, is that too far off? Because we're going to read in the scripture in a few weeks, in the book of Luke, I believe, or Matthew, it says the Son of Man can forgive sins on the earth. Remember, he told that guy that was laying there with a palsy, he didn't say, rise up and walk. He said, rise up, your sins have been forgiven, go home. And then the Pharisee says, what do you mean? What do you mean he forgave those sins? He said, okay, is it better for me to say, you're healed, rise up and walk, and go home. So he was telling him, he said, what's the difference? But he said, I want you to know that the Son of Man has power to forgive sins on the earth. Amen? That's why we had to have a glimpse of the Son of Man back here for marriage and divorce and all the different things that we needed when the prophet was standing here. He was giving us grace. It wasn't a prophet giving it to us, it was God giving it to us. But he was giving it to us in the form of him in human flesh. I said a form. Because Brother Branham was not the Son of Man. It was the Son of Man using a Son of Man to do what he was going to do in the scripture. And we'll talk about it in a minute. So let's read number one. Who is God? All right. So he first was God. Jehovah. Now what is Jehovah? God above us, or the existing one, all right? Let's just picture now as a little drama so you can get it. Let's see coming out of space where there's nothing. Let's make it a little white light, like a mystic light. Now remember, we just read John 1. He's the creator. And that creator was made flesh. Everybody got that? We can't lose that string that we made a string. Now we got that string here. Can't break the string, that's God. That's all his attributes. All right? So it's not another person. Okay? It's what? It's an actor playing different parts. All right? We've been through this, but I want to get this to where we can see. Because we got to come from seeing. It's like I said before, it's a little more easy to see the Son of God than it is to see the Son of Man. No, I mean the Son of Man, not a Son of Man, the Son of Man. All right? Because Brother Brown said he's got to become visible among us. Not out there, in us.
Right.
Raise the dead and we go into rapture. Because it's easy to see this. It's easy to see that Jesus died for my sins. You see, and you say, no, it's hard. Well, it is hard, but it's easier once you see it to to say, okay, that's the Holy Ghost and it come inside of me. But can you see that that is developing the Son of Man just like it was 2,000 years ago? Because that's the character. That's why the statue of a perfect man is so important. It is the characteristics of the Son of Man. Amen? Amen. Listen, we know God had patience and temperance, and we're going to read here in just a minute where God said, I've had enough of this, I'm going to wipe it off. That's what he said. I've had enough of this. I'm wiping this place off. But when he came on earth, he forgave those people. Through human eyes, he gave them grace. All right? So let's now picture a little drama so you can get it. Let's see coming out of space where there's nothing. Let's make it a little white light, like a mystic light. Now listen, folks, as we've said before, this is a drama. God never was a blob of light. If not, I mean, if he was, then you and I have to be little blobs of light because we were made in his image. We're going to see that in just a few minutes. Okay, everybody got that? What happens is listen, it's a revelation because when Moses walked up to the burning bush, he wasn't talking to a burning bush. Burning bushes don't talk. There was a God behind that. That was a human man standing there, but Moses' revelation wouldn't let him see that because Moses' revelation later, same guy. Same guy he's been talking to for the whole time. He said, oh God, I'd like to see you. He said, okay, go stand in the cleft of the rock. Well, what walked by? Brother Brown said Jesus Christ walked by before he was Jesus. That was the theophany of God walked by. And what did the Bible say it was? It was a man. So Moses' revelation was, that's a burning bush. But don't tell me that Moses went to Pharaoh and Pharaoh says, well, how are you going to take these people out? Well, there was this bush. He'd been smoking something, Pharaoh said. There was this bush, and it talked to me. No, he stood there and he said, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob sent me here to take over. Amen. That's what his revelation was. Is that he wasn't talking to this bush. He was talking to the God in the bush. And that's the same God that stood on the shores of Galilee. Before Abraham was, I am. All right, so look. Now let's make it a little white light. So once we see the white light, what we're doing is we're projecting. Brother Branham is making a projection that here comes this light. Because you remember, you can't see God at any time. So he's got to be manifested in something. So why not a light? Because remember, that's that same light that stood over Brother Branham at Houston Coliseum in 1950. Amen? And the same one that some of us have seen before in different things. It's the same thing, but it's Jesus Christ. It's not a light. It's not just this light. It's God in that light. Like a mystic light, like a halo. Now, what'd that look like on Brother Brown's head? Like a halo. Right? And that was the Logos that went out of God in the beginning. Now look, that was the Son of God. Remember Brother Dale asked a question 40 years ago. Put it up on the wall right here. A lot of us weren't here and some of us weren't even born. But he asked, he said, what do you think of when I say the Son of God? And most people said 2,000 years ago. No, that's the Son of Man. The Creator God is the Son of God that was before the foundation of the world. Amen? Look, that was the Son of God that came out of the bosom of the Father. Now look, it wasn't like God was standing here and all of a sudden, what are those things that stick on the trees at cicadas? You've seen them sticking on a tree and it looks like it's just a shell because they came out of it. It's not like that. God just moved over in another form so he could talk. And we could understand him. See, look, this is all for us. It's not for God. This whole Bible is not for God to show God that he's God. And the Bible is there and the prophet's message is there to show where God is and who he is and what he's doing. I thought we were supposed to see that which was, which is, and is to come. That's God. Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that was the Logos that went out of God in the beginning. In other words, he stepped down, condescended to man, condescending toward man or toward something, so that we could understand that now that being is going to start creating. He's going to start saying something. And when he says comes to pass, that's the revelation, or that's the manifestation of who he is. Remember, Brother Branham said he believed his own word. Do you know you got to start believing that too? Not frivolous stuff. You got to start believing your own word. But you got to have power with character. Not power without character, because remember, that's satanic. You don't use it. Listen, you wouldn't use it to harm anybody. You shouldn't use it to harm anybody, right? That was the Son of God that came out of the bosom of the Father. That was what was in the beginning, was the Word. And the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Remember, the Bible was written before the foundation of the world. That's the Word.
That's right.
The Word's not just God saying things over and over again and this and that. No, it's got a purpose. Absolutely. The only way we can understand Him is by the Bible.
Amen.
How the Bible give it to us is the only way we can understand God.
Amen.
But then it took a prophet to give us the love letter part. The in-between the lines. But see, a lot of people's tried to interpret between the lines, and it didn't coincide with the top, and it didn't coincide with the bottom. You know, Brother Bram said, whatever's in between the line has got to coincide with what the top is and what the bottom is. In other words, what is in between. All right? It can't be blue, red, blue. It's got to be blue, blue, blue. This has got to coincide. Whatever you stick in there has got to be the same thing as those two, but it gives you a deeper meaning instead of just saying, well, the Bible. No, it was God. It was a human. It was a person. The Word was God. The Word was what? Made flesh.
Amen.
Come down here and dwelt among us. In the beginning was God. And then look, out of God came the Logos, a part of God that went out of God, or the speech of God, or something we can understand Him more by as being the Creator. All right, so now let's read number 2. Everybody all right?
Amen.
We got to get to something here. I didn't think, I thought I'd be way short. Now, if God created man in His own image, now, okay. Come over here with me. Open your eyes so you can see what I'm talking about. Okay. So now if you got a halo of light, if He's going to create something in His image, whatever He creates has got to be a halo of light. If He was just a halo of light. Everybody got that?
Amen.
Now, God created man in His own image. Now, what is an image? When you look inside a mirror, do you see her? No, I'm sorry, y'all are twins. Do you see her when you look inside of a mirror? Who do you see? Oh! Why? Because that's your image. We were created in the image of God. The Genesis 1:26 man. And if God created man in His own image and in His own likeness, look. What kind of man was he? A spirit man. Not flesh yet. Okay, remember Genesis 2:7 is the flesh. Genesis 1:26 is not flesh. I mean, it's not flesh yet. Right? Everybody got that?
Amen.
We've been through this 100 times. That doesn't mean you can sleep through it. Now, if you'll notice, I'll tell you something later. Now, if you'll notice, after He had made all the creation, look. And I want to kind of give you a little something here. This is not going to cost you any money. I was talking to a preacher friend of mine. And he thought that Genesis 1, from Genesis 1 to the creation of man, was a spiritual creation. And then when God put the 1:26 man into the 2:7 man, then boom, everything become flesh. I don't see that. He made a physical creation. Them pigs and dogs and horses, when He created them, they were in flesh.
That's
Because they were already procreating before God even put the 2-7 man on earth. If not, then the lamb that he killed and throwed into the bushes for Adam and Eve, he'd have killed either the man or the girl, and there'd been no more lambs. They had to be procreating. So anyway, but that, and Brother Brown even tells you, it's a finished physical creation. When God finished the physical creation, then he put the 2-7, or the 1-26 man into the 2-7 man, so that he could lead the earth. I mean, he was leading the earth, but he could lead it by being on the earth. Now look, by he had made all the creation and created a spirit man, the close reading of this now to the one that asked the question will find this, that God gave dominion of the cattle and the fish and everything to the man. I told that brother, I said, how can a fish be a spiritual fish and it be swimming? Ain't it happening? And how can God tell them to eat grass? It'd be a spiritual, something spiritual. I just don't see that. So anyway, he called me back a few days later and he said, I can see now what you're talking about. So maybe it helped him a little bit. But in his making up there, he made man in his own image to lead the cattle. Now what does he mean by up there? Genesis 1:26. Alright? He made man in his own image to lead the cattle, lead the beast of the field, just like the Holy Spirit leads the believer today. He was, in other words, Adam, the first man in the lower creations of God. The first creation was God himself. Now, Brother Dale's been through this. We've been through this. God didn't create himself as you think. He just said that. The creation was, is that we can understand him a little bit more. He moved over into another form so we can understand him better. Okay? All right? First creation was God himself. Because, see, then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God, which I just told you was the one that created the world. Everybody got that? Started speaking. He spoke to Genesis 1:26 man. The first creation was God himself. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God. 2,000 years ago? No. 6,000 years ago. Or even further than that. It's when the Son of God came into being. Then out of God came the Logos, which was the Son of God, which was the Word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God and the Word was God. And the Word was made flesh and dwelt among us. Look, out of the Logos came forth the man. What man? The Genesis 1:26 man. Because the Logos spoke and said, let us make man in our own image. All right? Everybody got that? So now let's read Genesis 1:26. Which should be the next one. God said, okay, let us make man in our own image, after our likeness. Let them have dominion. Them, plural, dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air. I can't see a spiritual bird flying somewhere. This has to be a natural creation, okay? And over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in his own image. So God must have looked. Adam must have looked in the form just like God. I said in the form, just like God. Now what did he tell them? Now watch. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. He's setting up something here. Alright? And God blessed them. Do you know his children are already blessed before they even come to the earth? See, now that's predestination. I'll go with you there. That's the eternal part, eternal security. If you're in that part, you always was. Because that is eternal God. That is him forming his children by the word of God. Born by the breath of God, the prophet tells us in blasphemous names. Children of God born by the breath of God. That's why I could see where Adam was a human being formed in Genesis 2:7, and then God put eternal life in Adam. What he said in blasphemous name, Brother Dale's been preaching it for years. Now look, Adam just didn't get formed and God breathed eternal life into him. No, he was a human being first. Then especially into Adam, he breathed the breath of eternal life. It's in blasphemous names. That's a direct quote. All right? Everybody got that?
Amen.
And God blessed them and God said unto them, be fruitful and multiply. Multiply. Now wait a minute. We're not supposed to be doing any hanky-panky. Right? Everybody knows how we get here now, pretty much, except for the real young ones. You know how you got here. That's not how you're supposed to got here. But you're supposed to be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth. That's what God wanted. He wanted people born by the word of God, the spoken word of God, from the beginning through here. No sex involved. That's why you got to see the serpent seed. That how that's how it fell down to. But God still said, Satan, I'm way ahead of you, buddy. Remember, I created you. I hope he says that every once in a while. I hope he looks at the devil and said, remember, I created you. I hope he does. I created you, buddy. Because Satan was standing here watching this the same thing. Lucifer was right here. Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth. Because see, that's what he told Eve. He said, Eve, God told you to multiply. God told you to replenish the earth. Look at all these animals, how they're creating, procreating. Because the beast was procreating also. He had a Mrs. Beast. Amen? So God said, be fruitful. But now look, it's what God said, not what Satan said. God said, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and the fowl of the air. So that Genesis 1:26, man, before it was ever put in flesh, was supposed to procreate. The children of God were supposed to develop. Let's just put it this way. In the Garden of Eden, under perfect condition, God set this in motion. Adam and Eve, by the spoken word of God, was supposed to bring all these children, one right after the other. Ever how you want to say it, I don't care. But it's a spiritual birth, not a natural birth. Natural birth is what's killing us. Why did Jesus say you must be born again? We were talking about it last night. What's the first thing Nicodemus said? The great teacher that actually read this out of Genesis 1. They had the Old Testament. Nicodemus was a teacher. He said, a master teacher you are, Nicodemus. And Nicodemus said, have I got to go back and get in my natural mother's womb and be born? Jesus said, no, that's what's killing you now, son. You got to be born from above. But he never understood it. Okay? So now, let's go to the next. We only got just a minute here. Let's go to Brother Brown. Says, let's close our eyes to our imagination for a few moments. Go way back before there was anything. The great fountain of all eternity was that spirit of love, joy, that spirit of honesty, that spirit of trueness in this perfection. And then out of the existence of the Father went the Logos, which was the Son, which was the theophany, which was the body of great Jehovah. In other words, somebody we could see. Somebody we could see. All right. Even Brother Branham said if you're looking at it, it's like a father with a child playing at the door. Well, he could see something. It was an image. All right. But it's not two people. It's just God stepping forward closer to us so that we can understand him.
Right.
All right. Because how can you understand somebody that never had a beginning? We'll never have an end. You can't. But if you can say through the Bible and through the prophet's message that God was there by himself and it, and then this halo of light went out or this revelation goes out and there's a man standing there.
Amen.
And let's create in our image. Because I'm a man. And I'm going to start talking and things are going to start coming to being. Now see, that's where I can understand. I can't understand that he covered all space, time, and eternity. I can't understand that he never had a beginning. Have you tried it? Go back 10 billion, 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 billion years. There's not a beginning there. But when I can see that he once started talking, and I could understand because when he said, let there be, let there be, let there be an earth, we see the physical manifestation of what that word said. Because we're standing on it. And we see it at night, the stars, the moon, and all the different things. So we see that that was great Jehovah God went forth in a celestial body. That's the Logos. That's a spirit. Everybody got that? That's spirit form. Not flesh, spirit form. The word spoke out of them great fountains of life and went forth and there was the theophany, which was God made into word. Do you know, and I love that, if you see it on, we've got it right here, and I think it's hanging up downstairs, You see where the Bible's laying open and the Bible starts flipping the pages, and when it does, it's Jesus stepping out of the pages of the Bible, and there's a human man. Because that's where he came from. He came from that very word of God before the foundation of the world. All right. Now, what happened was there was a fall. Didn't change the word of God. It just made it more alive to me. It may give more purpose. Like Brother Ram said, more meaning and purpose. In that he was a savior, a healer, a redeemer, and all these different things. All right? So now let's read Genesis 3:22. This is after the fall. This is the way it is now. I had to get us to the way it is now. The way it is now, man and woman gets together through a relationship, and we have babies. But then when you come to the age of accountability, you got to decide whether you want to be a child of God or not. Everybody? Is that okay? You didn't come here a child of God. You come here with a potential to be a child of God. We were talking about that last night. You come here with what? Representation. You come here that God, knowing that you would want it, somewhere in your life you would want it. Because listen, if you come here with something eternal in your soul, come on. I know the quotes. We talked about it last night. If you'd have been at Bible study, you wouldn't be standing with your eyes crossed. Because what are you going to do with salvation if you always was eternal? What are you going to do with justification if you came here with an eternal seed inside of you? What are you going to do with Jesus dying on the cross? He didn't need to. You just needed to realize who you were. Listen, even the woman at the well, if you take the quotes where Brother Brown said, see there, that quickened her to eternal life, there is no way. Now, I'm not being contrary to Brother Brown. I'm just telling you the truth. There is no way that woman received eternal life in her soul standing there in front of the one that had eternal life, because he had to release it. She couldn't have got it before the disciples did. How can a prostitute get eternal life in her soul before the people that Peter had the keys to the kingdom? She didn't. So we didn't come that way. She had to, yeah, it did. The word quickened in her life. She saw what God had already told her. Because remember, she says, we know when Messiah comes. She'd read the Bible. Brother Bram said maybe her mama read the Bible to her. And it quickened something. She said, oh, we know when Messiah comes, he'll do these things. He said, I am he. Well, yeah, that quickened something in her heart. It quickened the desire to go tell somebody else. But I'll promise you, that girl had to go to the upper room to get the Holy Ghost. You can't go contrary to the Bible, folks. You can bring me 100 quotes. The things I did in my life, there was no eternal nothing inside of me. It was all in the mind of God, folks. That's what Brother Branham was taking us, into the mind of God. Because I'm going to tell you just like I told you before. This is so simple. God is a righteous judge. If I get eternal life and I've already got it and I have to do nothing to get it, and I'm just an eternal person because I got this seed laying inside of me, but Adolf Hitler didn't. Now listen, by predestination he didn't. By predestination I did. Not by physical. Because when Adolf Hitler goes to the day of judgment, when all things will be made known, Adolf Hitler's going to say, how can you judge that guy when you put something in him that you didn't put in me? To me, that's the simplest way to explain it. We all came here lost. We all came here, Brother Bram said, I was lost. I would wash my car on Sunday and watch people go to church. I had to go to the woodshed or run down the railroad tracks or wherever he received the Holy Ghost. A prophet had to receive the Holy Ghost.
Yes, right.
He didn't say something just quickened in my life. He said, no, I had an experience.
Right.
Amen.
One day I had an experience.
Yes.
And I don't do the things I used to do.
Right.
So anyway. And I know a lot of it's terminology, but you got to really understand one thing. If you just throw it out there and leave it, that's what we were talking about last night. You just throw a subject out there and just leave it. then the people are going to get the idea that they were this something special when they were born, and they got this eternal something that just stays in them, and all of a sudden it goes, I'm saved. No, there's an explanation, because you can't do away with Calvary, you can't do away with justification, sanctification, you can't do away with receipt. Why? I think I got it back there. God, after he was resurrected, he meets the disciples. And he breathes on them and says, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Right. Now that was the word. Right. That didn't come from another preacher.
That's right.
That was first-hand information.
Right.
Now why didn't, if there was a seed laying in there, why didn't it quicken right then? They wouldn't have had to went to the upper room.
Right.
Brother Brown said that was what? Potential. They had the potential because God saw they would go to the upper room. That was in the mind of God. And I believe Jesus knew it. And he was smiling when he said it.
Right.
But they had to go to the upper room 12 or 11 days later on the day of Pentecost to receive this lick of fire that Brother Brown said went in them.
Yes.
Why'd they have to go in them if it was already in them?
Right.
See what I mean, folks?
Right.
Just be careful. We need to be careful and be not so much dogmatic, but we need to watch what we're saying to people. All right? And the Lord God said, behold, the man has become one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand to take also the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. So he drove out the man. In other words, he put him out of the garden. And we've been out of the garden ever since. We're trying to get back in the garden, but we can't on this earth. Alright? So he drove out the man and he placed at the east of the Garden of Eden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned every way to keep the way of the tree of life. Now that was to keep them away. Brother Branham said now since Jesus Christ died and went to Calvary and opened all this back up again, they're running us back to the tree of life. Because he is the tree of life. It wasn't a tree standing there. It was God. It was Christ. It was the Logos. Amen? Genesis 6:5. Real quick, and then we'll close right here. I want to get to something. Look. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth. Because we're going to skip all the way to Noah. Because the Bible says in Luke that as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. Everybody got that? All right. So now remember, when the Son of Man was standing on earth physical, there wasn't a destruction afterwards. Everybody got that? All right, listen. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him at his heart. God's got a heart. You know why? Because you got one. Because we were made in his image. And it repented the Lord that he had made man on the earth. And it grieved him in his heart. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth. Isn't that what we're facing right now? Isn't that what we're facing? When the Son of Man is revealed and we leave this earth, there's going to be a destruction. Amen? Same way when the Son of Man was revealed to Abraham, we'll get to it tonight, or this afternoon, when the Son of Man was revealed to Abraham in Melchizedek, what happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? There was a destruction. Amen. And the Lord said, I will destroy man whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast and creeping things and fowls of the air, for it repenteth me that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. That was one man. And really, remember, there was 8 souls saved, but that's not even talking about the bride. Enoch was the type of the Son of Man. And he was called up way before this. Okay. All right, so let's get into something just real quick. Luke 17, verse 26, and I got a few comments right here. And it was in the days of Noah, or Noe, so shall it be in the days of the Son of Man. That's us. Not back 2,000 years ago. He's talking about us, because Brother Brown, how many times did he quote Luke 17, 30? He said, that's this day. They did eat, they drank, they married wives, they were given in marriage until the day that Noah entered in the ark and the flood came and destroyed them all. Now let's look and see though, what happens here, because it's a type of here, because it says in the days of the Son of Man, Noah, it should be in the Son of Man. Now remember, there were three types of people in Noah's age. As we're going to talk about tonight, there was three in Lot's time, or in Abraham's time, but there was three in Noah's time. The sinner that didn't care what Noah was talking about.
Right?
The make-believer that hung around the ark. And them's the ones that talked to Noah. Noah, are you sure it's going to rain? Listen, they were 7 billion people on the earth. Probably 6.8 of them didn't even know Noah existed. They probably just heard a little something. You know, there's an idiot down there making a boat. It ain't never rained. But there were some people that actually got close to Noah and said, Noah, what are you doing? There's nothing up there. It will rain, he said. 120 years. The prophet of God said, 120 years. God was so long-suffering to get the elect in, and only 8 people were saved. In 120 years of preaching, 8 people were saved.
Amen.
And one of them was the devil.
Right.
Ham. Brother Brown said Ham brought the, you know, across the ark. The unbelief. All right, listen to this. Also, yeah, I'm done with the quotes. That's okay. Listen to this. Remember what happened when Noah finished preaching? What happened? God said, go get in the ark. Right? And they were there 7 days. Why 7 days? They were there for 7 church ages. There were 7 church ages. God called out a bride to save them. And then God said, I'm done. Shut the door. Now listen to this. Genesis 7 verse 4. They don't have it. Listen. For yet 7 days and I will cause it to rain upon the earth 40 days and 40 nights. This is Genesis 7 4. And every living thing that I have made will I destroy from off of the face of the earth. Now what does rain mean? Rain means a message. Remember, former rain. Former rain is a teaching rain. Latter rain is a harvest rain.
Amen.
See, this day and time, if it's as it was in the days of Noah, we get a 7 seal rain in the end time. We get a 7 seal rain in the end time because it's coming to maturity. That's the Son of Man. That's why those two scriptures are connected. Why would it say in the days of Noah, as going to be in the days of the Son of Man as it was in the days of Noah? There's got to be a connection. Now, they didn't come to maturity. But me and you are going to have to come to maturity. To get out of here, we got to have a 7 seal rain. Something that's going to what? Harvest us off this earth. And what is a harvest? It's when you collect something and you take it and use it. We're going to be harvested off this earth. And then God's not going to flood the earth again because he promised he wasn't. He's going to destroy it by fire. So as it was in the days of the Son of Man, we've listened, we've listened, we've read, we've listened. We're like I said before, let's stand to our feet. We're trying to do the things that we're doing. Just listen, keep pressing, keep trying.
Amen.
As we said last night, listen. It's only human. Listen to me now. You're going to have to agree with me because it happens to all of us. When you have a goal and you set a goal, like Dave Ramsey, when you set a goal and that goal's been set, and then when that goal's been met, what's the first thing you do humanly? Whew. I did it. Right? Last night I said, well, we just fold it. You know, we do this. Put the little straw in our mouth and we, you know, I made it. I got the Holy Ghost. I fought. I know I got the Holy Ghost. And then humanly we go, okay, I'm done. No. That just starts the fight. That just starts the fight. You need to press your way through that. Thinking that you've got it and you're done. Sure, you've got it, you're done, you're sealed. But listen, God doesn't want that. He wants us to press, Paul said, press toward the mark of the high calling. Amen. Push.
Yes.
Make the devil mad. I believe we have. Make him mad.
Yes.
Listen, if you're a child of God, he can't harm you unless God lets him.
Amen.
So you got to put yourself behind the promises of God.
Yes.
And listen, see this son of man. Sure, it's great to have the Holy Ghost. It's great to come into the family of God and have the faith of God. But you still got all that growing to do.
Right.
Like I said before, if they took little Scarlett, when she was born a year ago, she was just a year old, right? Or the baby.
Violet.
Sorry, Violet. Scarlett, Violet. Okay. Violet's a year old. Now, what if they would have all left a year ago, buddy? Oh, that we saw the pictures. Oh, hallelujah. It's a baby. It got here. It's breathing. It's a human. And it's a breathing human being. Now, what if she'd have took it and said, well, I'm done. I'm done. My job's done. I birthed this thing. Mama, I birthed this thing. I'm done. I got the baby here. No, that's just when the struggle begins.
That's right.
Everybody's had kids say.
Amen.
And it still happens, even when they're 30 and 40 and all the way up that way. So anyway, but you know what? You just keep going, moms. You ever quit loving your kids? Don't matter what they do, you still love them. God's the same way. But God wants to feed you so you can grow up. God don't want you to be a baby no more. He loves that you become a baby because he saw that. But he also wants you to grow. And grow. And how do you grow? Eat. Eat the word of God and you'll grow. Let's sing a song.
Because he lives.
Worship just for a minute now.
I can face tomorrow because he lives. All fear is gone.
Sing it to him.
Because I know he holds my future.
Thank God, an eternal man holds my future. Human being, but God Almighty holds my future.
Because he lives, I can face tomorrow.
He had to come, the Son of Man, so we could have life.
All fear is gone. Because I know.
Somebody had to die to give you eternal life. God had to die in human flesh to release that life, to give it to you. And then we act any way we want to? No. There's too many good promises that God give us for us to take hold of. If you don't have the new birth, please. Get the new birth. You'll never understand about the Son of Man. You'll never understand about the Son of God. But receiving the new birth gives you the Son of God. God in spirit form. Called the Son of God. The new birth. The Holy Ghost. Amen? There's your promise. But now he didn't say, put the baby in a corner and just leave her there or him there. No. Feed the baby. Do the things you're supposed to do. Give it nourishment. Give it nutrition. Word of God. Give it the Word. When the Word's made available for you, you should take it. Amen? We've never turned down many meals, have we? We've never turned down many natural meals. No, we usually eat because we're hungry. So let's be hungry for the Word of God through this series. Let's sing it one more time, and then you'll be dismissed.
Oh, because he lives.
future. You're dismissed. And life is worth the living.